Well, greetings and salutations. Welcome back to the podcast, episode 6 of the podcast that is Cirque du Psyche, where we talk about some stuff and some things. I am your host, Tanner, the Cosmic Potato Farmer, and today I am on the panel by myself. The indubitable space fox known as Monica is not here today, and I'm going to tell you why. So here in South Carolina, we have snowpocalypse, and I am currently marooned at the farm all by me onesie, so I'm going to give this a shot by myself, and hopefully I can figure this flashy board out and maybe not screw something up, but we're going to give it a shot, or I'm going to give it a shot. So the weather, it's weird. Cabin fever is a real thing. So I've been here since, what is today, Tuesday evening. I stayed here. Everybody left, and I stayed here, holding down the old fort, the old farm. Someone had to stay back and take care of the animals, so that's what I was doing. That's what I've been doing. And it looks like maybe tomorrow is Friday. Tomorrow I might be getting out of here, get to sleep in my own bed again. It's not so bad, though, being here stuck at the farm. It's pretty. It's quiet. Got really good food to eat. Got a warm spot to sleep in at night. Can't complain. Could be a lot worse. But, animals are good. Everybody made it. It's cold out there. I like it, but I don't. So, yeah. Fun little fact. I'm 43, and up until this year, I haven't really felt the cold that much. When it's cold outside, I don't really mind it. I like it a little bit, and there's no bugs. I like working in a hoodie all day and not sweating. That's kind of cool. But, this year is like the first year that I felt the cold. I don't know if that's your first sign of getting old. Well, that and eyesight's starting to get a little blurry. But let's not talk about that. But yeah, it's cold. I got hand warmers in every pocket, and I never use hand warmers bundled up. But so I'm up in my warm spot up here doing some podcastery. And we're going to talk about some stuff. I did some research today while I was sitting around. I got bored with everything else, did some little tinkering projects, got that done, watched about as many movies as I could stand, so started reading, came across a little article, I read it and got me thinking, something that I don't know if it's a controversial view, it shouldn't be, but I think some people might find it that way because of today's culture and whatnot. But let me look this word. Let me read it so make sure I don't screw it up and say it right. And okay. Anthropomorphism. So, look at this. We're going to go ahead and introduce the old topic here and get the word of the day out of the way all in one shot here. Let's do it. Anthropomorphism is defined as the attribution of human characteristics to an animal or object. So I'm specifically referring to animals in this sense. So I'm a farmer. Animals are a big thing for me. That's my job. It's my livelihood. It's my passion. I love animals, but I do not anthropomorphize animals. I think it's dangerous. I really do, for several reasons. So before I get into what I found interesting about this article, I'm going to give my take on it. My big thing is people calling dogs children, like their dog parents, my grandkids or my dogs or whatever. It's just weird to me. Dressing your dog up and treating it like a person. I think it's dangerous. I think it's wrong. I like dogs. I think pet dogs are cool, but you shouldn't treat them like people. It's just, it's weird. Just stop being weird. But, you know, hey, I'm one man talking into a microphone all by myself. It's my opinion. You know what? And whatever, suck it up. I'm going to tell you what it is. So the reason I think it's dangerous is when you anthropomorph, that's a hard word to say. I got to look at it when I say that. Anthropomorphize your dog, you are destroying its nature, its true nature. Okay, I understand that dogs have been domesticated and watered down to what they are now, pets, to call it man's best friend. I can kind of see where that comes from, but I mean, I think my donkey, my big homie Eeyore, is one of my best friends, and my big pig Howard. I mean, why can't so? But I just don't know why we gave that title to dogs alone. And I think maybe, I don't know, it could be part of the whole big plan, big picture to dumb down humans. I don't know, but we're not going to get into that subject right now. It's a whole different topic. We'll get there one day. But yes, when you destroy this dog's nature, you take away its, I don't know, I can't really say personality, because that would be me anthropomorphizing a dog into a dangerous category, if you will. Anyway, so you take away this dog's nature to be a dog. I'm bumbling through this. So Joel Salatin, he talks about his animals. He says, you know, pigs, yeah, let pigs be pigs. And how does he say it? He says, you know, let the pigs express their pigness, the pigness of the pig. And it means exactly that. You let the pig be a pig, you let a pig do what it do. So I think the same thing for a dog. Now, if you let a dog go feral and wild, like you got stray dogs and stuff, they can revert back to a very primitive nature, which can be more dangerous than anthropomorphizing, if you will. And they start to get, you know, dangerous into a way they come into your yard, they eat your chickens. If you got chickens or something like that, they could hurt somebody, whatever. But you still shouldn't treat your pet dogs like people. They're not humans. They're not people. They don't have human rights. They don't deserve a spot in the how do you say it's the hierarchy of your family. You know, you got mom and dad, you got kids. Dogs are at the bottom, plain and simple. That's how I see it. Does that mean I mistreat dogs? No. I mean, the dog I currently have, I'm not a huge fan of it, but I don't get all cuddly with her, but I don't mistreat her. And the reason that is because she's an Australian Shepherd. She's really sweet. She's really lovable. She's a pit, and we did not get her to be a pit ultimately. We wanted her to be a shepherd. But for some reason, this dog has no shepherding instincts. And to me, I wouldn't say useless. It's just not what I expected. And to me, dogs, to a certain extent, are a form of livestock. Not so much as your livestock on a farm or anything like that. You're not raising them for meat or anything like that. But they are a form of livestock in my eyes. The pets. I mean, I have most of the animals on my farm are food, or they produce food. Like chickens produce eggs. Certain chickens we probably won't eat, but they produce eggs. They're part of the food making aspect of the farm. Some of the animals, like, okay, so our egg layers, some of them, when they age out, we will eat them. If they're healthy, we'll put them into the butchering mix. We'll eat them. They lay eggs for several years. They start to slow down. Instead of just letting it get really old, eat a productive chicken's food and, you know, contribute to whatever the uselessness of that chicken's life at that point. It becomes food, plain and simple. That's just the reality of life. You got to eat to live. So ultimately, they are food. Now, we have some animals that are, they will never get eaten. They're donkeys, obviously. I have a pig. I call him, he's the king of the farm. He's King Howard. I'll never eat Howard. And that's just because I've put that label on him. He was the first animal we got on the farm, and he's got a special place in my heart. But I do not still, I don't anthropomorphize him to a dangerous level of thinking he is an equal to me. He's an animal. He's a farm animal. He has a place. He's not just a pet. I'm just feeding, and he's taking up room. He serves a purpose. He's still a fertilizing machine. He can eat food scraps. He, certain times of the year, he's got some ladies. He entertains some ladies and makes some babies. So he's part of the reproductive cycle, the regenerative cycle of producing food. So he still has a purpose, but he's not food. He is not food. Howard, I'm not going to eat you. And it's just a running joke. Yeah, I can sit here and say, oh, yeah, he's King Howard. I don't actually think he's a king. It's just because he's Howard. I mean, he's a big dude. He's Howard. That's all I'm going to say, okay? But I got way off track here. Let's circle back around. So dogs, they, when I say they're livestock, that's kind of what I mean. They're animals. They are subservient to humans. But they're not to be mistreated. We don't, you know, don't mistreat animals. Don't be a jerk and do stupid things like that. But dogs are a dangerous gateway into the anthropomorphism game. And when you dress your dog up, treat it like a person, it just sets a weird precedent. I'm not going to keep beating this into the ground. I just think it's dangerous because it moves into other things. Like you start looking at your dog like a person, treating it like a person. And then you start thinking, oh, this cow doesn't look like a steak anymore. It looks like you should be wearing a tutu and taking ballet lessons or whatever. These chickens, or, you know, pick an animal and put the scenario to it. It's dangerous. I don't want to get into the whole vegan thing right now, but it leads to that, veganism. And I think that too is dangerous, but I'm not going to deep dive into that right now. But is it part of a big vegan global conspiracy to make us all not eat meat? I don't know. Probably not. Maybe a little bit. I don't know. But like I said, we're not going to dive into that right now. But enough with my crazy rambling. I'm going to share. Interesting. It was part of me while I make some noises here while I adjust so I can see the old compooper over here so I can read this article. Read part of it. I'm not going to sit here and read this whole article, but it's really good. So we already defined anthropomorphism when you put human characteristics to an animal or object, but we're talking about animals. All right, so dogs, we try to understand dogs. We think we know dogs' characteristics and personalities. Yeah, there's that word again. Their specific traits. Yes, when you have an animal that lives inside, our dog lives inside. You can kind of, you know, she has a routine. She's got a quirk. She's got her, I can't think of a different word to use besides personality, characteristics. How about that? I don't like saying personalities talking about her because you know why. So she has her own little characteristics and her individuality. Another word, I don't really, for lack of better terms, let's just use these terms until I can find something better. Anyway, so you get to know these animals. You get to know this dog, and they have their routines. They have things that we attribute to them as like, the things they like, things they dislike. We think we know their moods, if you will. Oh, I could tell she's happy because this, that, or the other. But I don't really think we understand dogs, even the ones that we have for 10, 12, 15, you know, years. We had a dog that we had for 10 or 11 years, and she was amazing. But as long as I had her, as much as I loved her, because yes, you can love an animal without anthropomorphizing them. All right. And Molly, very similar to the dog we have now, who's Millie. But Molly was awesome, but I still did not look at her as a member of the family or a person or anything like that. She was a dog. She got treated like a dog. And I don't mean the the bad way people say, oh, you treat me like a dog. She was treated like a dog. She was taken very good care of, and she had her place, and that's perfectly fine. I'm not against pets. I'm starting to sound like maybe I'm going down that road, but I don't think that at all. I think pets are awesome, but they're not people. They have their place. They have their uses, their places, and stuff like that. So when we have these pets and we think we understand them, we think we know them, but do we? I don't really think so. I think we can get to know them a little better. Like we know their routines and habits, and we know when they're hungry, they like to eat. It's instinct, right? I mean, they're following their instincts. They know how to get things from us with their little puppy dog eyes and their little body language and whatnot. But anyway, let's get away from dogs. Dogs are cool, but they're not humans. All right, so let's move into some other animals that I found interesting. This article talks about. So monkeys. People say, I don't believe in evolution. I'm just going to put it out there. I don't care if you agree with me or not. I'm a Christian. I believe in creation. Everything was created for a place and a purpose, okay? Humans are the masters of the earth. Now, I'm not saying that we've done a good job. I think for the most part, we've sucked at it. We failed miserably at it. And where we're at now with anthropomorphizing animals is a huge, huge part of that failure, if you ask me. Now, we can look at what science says about monkeys and apes. They say that 99% genetically close to, I don't know, science-y terms, but they say science says we evolved from monkeys. I do not believe that. And I'll explain that here in a little bit, why I don't believe that. Well, I mean, obviously, other than the creation aspect of everything, but so monkeys, we think we know monkeys because we can teach them sign language. I mean, they're intelligent. All animals have a form of intelligence. Some are way more intelligent than others. Some are pretty dumb. Monkeys are, I guess, a whole lot higher on the intelligence spectrum than other animals. Well, the dangerous part of that is that some people look at them like, oh, we can teach them to be as, you know, equal to a human. No, you cannot. That monkey, that ape, only has an intelligence level that goes so far. And it's not just about that. You got temperaments, you got mood, you got their animal instincts, things like that. I mean, they can be highly dangerous animals. And if we anthropomorphize them and work with them for years and years and we teach them sign language and we get to know them and everything, they can still show aggressive behaviors and they're not subject to our laws. Like they can hurt somebody, whatever. And you know, people, oh, they're just being an animal. Oh, all of a sudden they're just being an animal. But what about them? What about little clothes they're wearing, the diaper they're wearing, so they don't poo-poo all over your floor, right? Because you're treating them like a human. But if they act like an animal, oh, they're just an animal. So it's the whole thing is a walking contradiction to me. Anyway, so this article is fascinating to me because it talks about when we see something we like as humans, we smile. Well, in the animal world, particularly monkeys, a smile can be a threatening gesture to monkeys because that's baring your teeth in them. I was like, whoa, that's all right. Let me a little side note. This is weird. This is very weird doing this podcast by myself. It's just weird. And I'm struggling a little bit, but it's going to happen every now and then, I guess. I need to get better at it. Suck it up, be a big boy. So anyway, so monkeys, certain types of eye contact, baring your teeth, certain body movements can be misconstrued as aggressive behavior, and then all of a sudden, that aggressive behavior translates to animal instinct, and they can hurt somebody, and then all of a sudden, they're just an animal now, right? So I'm not going to sit here and go through every little aspect of this article, but one that stands out and maybe almost didn't even do a podcast today because I was by myself, but I wanted to put this out there. And this is fascinating to me. And I don't want to sit here and just steal somebody else's article and ideas and stuff, but I talk to people a lot because I'm around animals a lot, and I run a lot of animals. I have a lot of animals. The anthropomorphism thing comes up a lot when we're talking to people about the farm, animal behavior, whatever. It comes up a lot, and it's something that I want to talk about. I want to put out there, see what other people think. Maybe you don't agree with him. Maybe you do, whatever. Maybe it's something you never thought about before, and let's think about it together. Or maybe not together, because you're not actually here with me, and it's kind of sad. So, elephants. I love elephants. They're amazing, amazing animals. They're terrifyingly huge, but they seem so gentle. All right. I think elephants are an easy one for people to anthropomorphize. The more I say that, the easier it gets to say. And the reason I think that is because of their size, that they can be easily trained. Now, let's go back to the old circus days. These animals were so mistreated that to the point to where when they got them, they were young, they trained them, and they put these big chains around their feet or their legs. Oh, excuse me, a little bodily function there. They put these big chains around their legs and they stake them to the ground. And what's fascinating but also very disturbing is that eventually these animals, these ginormous animals who could tear a house in half, they didn't even have to put the stake in the ground anymore. They put the chain around them, and they were just so mentally broken that they thought that they were chained to the ground, and they wouldn't move. They would just stand in a spot, one spot. It's stupid. It's disgusting to me. See, you can love animals and not anthropomorphize them. I'm going to keep saying that until someone gets it. All right, so anyway, but because these animals are so massive and so gentle and so easy to train, I think elephants are highly intelligent. I don't know where they fall in the actual scientific intelligence spectrum of animals, whatever, but from what I've seen and what they can do and how they can train and how they communicate with humans, I think people have a big tendency to anthropomorphize elephants, because I think some animals are more prone to this danger than others, and elephants are a big one in my opinion. So anyway, another reason that anthropomorphism is dangerous, and I'm going to kind of read a little bit here. I'm not going to bore you with verbatim wordage here. So there's part of this article talks about an elephant in a zoo, and it had a baby, which is awesome. Little baby elephants are so awesome. If elephants stayed that small, I would totally have one. It's just because it's little, eats less, and it probably hurt a lot less if it stepped on me by accident or something, or decided to, it had enough and wanted to like throw me into a tree. But man, baby elephants are so adorable. Anyway, so elephants, they're also social animals, all right? So when you take them out of that environment, I feel you put them in a zoo, and like some, you need to go to a zoo, which I'm not a huge fan of. There might be one or two, three, four, like a small group. But I think elephants are happier living in their big elephant groups. I don't know what elephant groups are called, but they live in their big, is it a troop? I think troop would be a good word to call elephants, and go back to the Jungle Book. Maybe that's why the elephants in the Jungle Book were militarized, because they're called a troop. Just putting that together. So anyway, so this in this article, it talks about a mom elephant having a baby. Well, of course she's a mom because she had a baby. Idiot. So it says an incident that has occurred numerous times is the death of elephant babies in zoos. What? Come on, bruh. So they're just, it describes this attack and this of just, you know, is a mother's vicious attack. This mom elephant killed her newborn. All right. So people look at that, and of course, all of a sudden the anthropomorphism is out the window, and oh, it's an animal. It's a vicious animal because, oh, what do you know? They're not humans. They have natural tendencies to do elephant stuff, and we think we understand that by saying, oh, the mom's frustrated, it's whatever, it's cooped up and it stomped his baby to death, because ultimately that's what it did. But it says here that is completely normal behavior, not the fact that it stomped its baby to death. But in the wild, where elephants live, they give birth on the ground, and on the ground there's dirt. So what the mom elephant does is fascinating. I never knew this. They kick dirt and dust up onto their babies because they're a little wet and gooey. You know, animals and babies are born are gooey and kind of gross at first. So the mom elephant kicks dirt onto the baby, and it masks the birth goo smell so predators can't smell them. And it says here that it also creates a small dip in the ground, which allows the baby elephant to roll its legs under itself, and it can get onto its feet and get moving. Because, you know, obviously in the wild, the more static you are, you're laying still, the danger is higher of getting picked off by a predator. So the mom does this for a very specific reason. Well, in a zoo, everything's got to be clean and sterile because, you know, that's how we humans like things. That's how we think the animals need to be. So in a zoo, the mom drops a baby in a sterile concrete floor, and it tries to express its elephantness by stomping the ground and creating dust and flinging dirt onto his newborn baby to hide it from predators, because as intelligent as this animal is, it doesn't know necessarily that it's safe from all predators. It's in a zoo. It doesn't really know. It's just it's instinct. It's natural instinct, and it's doing what it's supposed to do. So when it's doing this, it's not working, and they're trying to stomp a hole in the ground. Well, they accidentally stomped her baby to death. And because we humans think we got everything figured out, that we don't realize that this is normal behavior, and we attribute it to a vicious animal attack. Stomped his baby to death. And then, so what's going to happen to that mama elephant? Is someone going to find out why it did it? Or is it going to be labeled a menace and get put down or isolated even more because they think it's just going to keep killing, it's a baby killer now? Well, I think that anthropomorphism led us to this point to where we put these animals in captive animals in captivity, and we don't fully understand them. When you anthropomorphize an animal, you think you understand them because you're putting human attributes to them, right? Human characteristics and attributes and whatnot. And when they do something that they're supposed to do, the way they were created to do, we think it's weird because they're being animals now. Well, I don't get it, man. It's crazy. But yeah, so that's the article I read, and it got me thinking. It's fascinating and depressing and sad and all at the same time. It's gross. It's gross what we do to animals. So, yeah, I don't want to be sad anymore, so let's get away from the baby elephant death. Sad. I don't like monkeys all that much. I'm going to make a confession to you people out there, Jeffrey. I know you're listening. I don't like monkeys. I don't like apes. I don't know why. It's just, I think they're gross. But does that mean that we should mistreat them? Absolutely not. It just means they're not my favorite animal. I mean, everybody's got a least favorite animal. And monkeys and apes make my, the top of my list there. I mean, I don't know what my least favorite animal is. I don't think it would be monkeys and apes, but they're pretty high up there. I don't like them. They're all uppity and think they're better than me. Think they're smarter than me. Because they can take things and get away with it. I don't know. Just, you see those weird videos of people going on vacation with monkeys and they like steal their purse or cell phone or your lunch or something and you can't do anything about it because they're all sacred in those areas or something and people anthropomorphize them and just, it's a mess. It's dangerous. Don't go down the anthropomorphism rabbit hole and do this to animals. I mean, they all have their place. They're special in their created space. And speaking of creation and monkeys, the reason that I don't believe in evolution, one of the reasons, and this is my argument for it. So Darwin, who was a science scientific shill, and I don't think most of his ideas were his ideas anyway, but that's another story. Talks about when something evolves, it's not overnight. It's not, you know, it's not a quick thing. An animal supposedly evolves to adapt to its environment, right? Well, evolution and adaptation are two different, whole different things here. Remember walking contradictions. So anyway, when an animal evolves, it turns into something else through, I don't even know how to explain it because I don't believe it, but through, I guess, through reproductive genetic changes or whatever, and the next generation has this evolved whatever to survive in their environment better or whatever. But when something supposedly evolves, the previous iteration of that animal no longer exists, right? I mean, that's the way I understand it. So if we came from monkeys, and they're our closest ancestor and relatives, right? And we evolved from them to be better, you know, just better on the whole evolution spectrum there. Why do they still exist? I mean, why are they still there? If everything else evolved from something and replaced that animal completely, why are monkeys still here if we came from them? I don't think it makes sense. Even if I was on the fence, I mean, I know where I stand. I don't believe in evolution, but that's just my argument. If I was on the fence trying to go one way or the other, and that old thought popped into my coconut, I'd give that some, you know, some real thought and put some real weight to it. I don't know. What do you guys think? Thinking. That's what we need to do. Do some thinking, right? But yeah, I believe in creation. I believe that we're all given a special place on this planet, just because we are the highest created beings on the planet, doesn't mean, and we're called the masters of the earth, doesn't mean that we should treat the earth like a trash can, doesn't mean we should mistreat animals. Yeah, I think it's a disgusting thing to do to animals, abuse them. Our big male donkey, my homie, Eeyore, he was abused, and we were the third. See, usually I'm looking at Monica right now to get confirmation to these questions. And I actually looked over where I usually sit like an idiot. But so I think we're the third owners of Eeyore, and he came with that name. I'm not crazy about it, but it is what it is. He knows it. And so the people we got him from, I don't think did the abusing. The first placed, because they said they noticed a little something in him too, whatever. But then again, yeah, I don't know. They could have, you know, they could have did something to him, whatever. But because he wasn't super comfortable around people at first. But somewhere along the line, he was abused. And when we got him to the farm, we're working with him, don't you know, just being present with him and working with him and whatnot. I could see that the abuse. And sometimes you don't know what it is. Sometimes you can figure it out. And I did figure it out through a sulky whip. Now, if you don't know what a sulky whip is, it's a little whip. It's got a long, like, rigid part and then like a little whip part at the end. I can't remember names of the parts of whips, but traditionally a sulky whip is used if you're on like a little carriage ride. You kind of snap it. It's not for beating. Whips aren't for beating your animals. There's different types of whips for different types of usages, and they're not for beating your animals. So no matter what I had in my hand or anything, whatever I was doing, it didn't bother him. He was, you know, he was aware. It's a new person. He's trying to figure me out. I'm trying to figure him out. Well, I use a sulky whip to get animals moving, mostly horses and donkeys and stuff of that nature. I don't hit them with it. I just kind of flap it behind them and, you know, maybe leave them a little tappity tap on the old ham back there to get them moving. But, you know, by no means do I smack the crap out of them or whip them with it. It's just a little tap to get them moving. Well, when I came out with that sulky whip and I raised it up, he sat down like a dog. And it sounds funny, but seeing him do that was kind of heartbreaking. And that's when I figured out that he was probably whipped pretty bad. And so I took the sulky whip and I chucked it in the bushes. And I think that did something to him. All right. Like I said, animals, they all have different forms of intelligence, and I think donkeys are pretty intelligent for the most part. Maybe not super intelligent, but they kind of remind me of dogs in a way, to where the facial recognition of humans, they kind of gravitate towards one human, they kind of imprint there, if you will. So I think when that happened, he realized that I wasn't a threat. I kind of picked up on what was going on. I was picking up what he was putting down. And I chucked that whip into the bushes, and he realized that. And from that day forward, me and him were homies. And he will protect me if someone's in the pasture with me. He won't hurt that person, but he will get in between me and them, give you the old donkey side eye, and if he really doesn't like you, he'll actually start pushing me away from you. So he's also a really good litmus test to bring people. Let's go out here in the pasture and meet old Eeyore. He's super cool. And then if Eeyore don't like you, I probably don't like you. So that's just how it is. But as much as I love my homie Eeyore, he's not a person. I don't treat him like one. He is still livestock. He is a functioning member of our farm out here. I will never treat him like a human, but I will give him the respect that he deserves in his created space. I will treat him. He has a good life, and that's how I treat my animals, even the ones we're going to eat. They have a really good life, let's be honest. Yeah, some of these animals are living pretty daggum good, even though they're going to be in the freezer one day. But that's just how it is. Animals are created to serve a purpose, to serve a role in your little animal societies, not human societies. They coexist with human societies, but they're not functioning members of the human society. They're functioning members, hopefully, functioning members of their little animal societies, right? So, yeah, that's why I think anthropomorphism is dangerous. I hope that made sense. This was kind of a last-minute thing, jumping on here and putting this out there into the old ether and whatnot, whatever that means. But, I could go down a rabbit hole with this, seeing people treat animals like, especially dogs. I don't get it. Like, people try to treat cats that way, and we have a barn cat here. It's super cool, but, man, sometimes he drives you crazy, especially when I'm living out here for a few days like I am. He just constantly wants to be held. But guess what? He's not a baby. It's not my kid. I'm not going to hold him. Well, might be watching a movie or something. He'll sit in my lap, but other than that, I'm not going to take time out of my day to make him feel special like a little kid or anything, because he's not. He's my barn cat. He still needs to be a stone-cold murderer at night. That's his job. Anything that moves in this barn that's not supposed to be here, it either gets killed or ran off, and that's what his job is. So his place here, kind of a pet. I mean, because when we're here, he chills with you, he hangs out with you, he sleeps in my beekeeping veil during the day. We'll let him into that little workshop during the day because he's not out, you know, patrolling. So he gets to rest and hang out and be a little pet during the day. And he sleeps in my beekeeping veil. It's kind of weird, but that's his spot. But at night, he's a ninja that kills things. And that's his purpose. That's his purpose. So, but you don't see people treating cats that way. I'm sure some people try. Some people have achieved it. But, man, cats are in a whole different intelligence level, man. They're kind of creepy with how smart and intuitive they are. But I don't see people anthropomorphizing cats like they do dogs. Is that because cats are more independent? Maybe, I don't know, a little higher intelligence? I don't know. But dogs are pretty smart. I mean, considering some dogs are. Like, some dogs are just weird abominations, like Shih Tzus and Papillons and little dogs that I don't know. I mean, if that's your thing, it's whatever. Don't take offense to it, or do. I don't care. I like big dogs. I like working dogs. Anyway, so it just drives me crazy, man, to see people treating their dog or dogs like pets. Like, I mean, I don't. I just don't get it. Or not by pets, but like children. I mean, they're pets. Treat them like pets. But kids. They're not your kids, man. I mean, come on. I was getting a little tongue-tied here because I was thinking of a story. I used to drive a fuel truck before I started running the farm out here. That's actually how I got the job, delivering fuel. But anyway, one day I'm driving through this neighborhood. It was a, it's a 55 plus community. Like you have to be 55 years old to own a house there. It was like an elderly community, whatever. Driving through there and I've had a pretty routine route, right? A lot of times I was in the same place at the same time. So this neighborhood's part of this massive abomination of a housing complex that's being put in nearby here. And I used to deliver fuel to the unfinished part of the neighborhood. So to get there, I had to drive through the front finished part of the neighborhood, right? There's this elderly, because that's the neighborhood, and she had this little dog. I don't know what it was, a little fuzzy thing that rode in a freaking, like a stroller. It rode in a stroller. Dog didn't even walk on the ground. And then, so I noticed, I was, who am I to judge, but I just, I don't like it. Anyway, so I'm driving through there one day, and I was kind of really paying attention to her. I had to slow down for whatever reason. I'm not, whatever details, blah, blah, blah. She picks this dog up like a kid and starts waving at my truck, like using a little dog paw, waving at me. And it like looked at me like I was stupid for not waving back. It's like, oh man, I don't get it. But it's not a person. It's not a pet. I mean, it is a pet. It's not a person. It's not a kid. Don't treat it like a person. I mean, the dog probably wanted to be walking, smelling some stuff, feeling the dirt and stuff. I mean, that's what they're for. Oh, man. But, yeah, it's super weird to me, and I don't get it. But whatever, like I said, I'm not here to judge. I'm just here to give you my opinion, and that's all I can do. It's the best I can do, right? So, but animals are cool. They're super cool. We got a lot of them here on the farm. And like I said, even the ones that are being raised for food, they got a good life, man. I feel like they're living a lot better than some people are out there. Yeah, so another thing that, who said that? Somebody in the space said that animals have one bad day. The animals you're going to eat have one bad day and they don't even know it's coming. They wake up, they go about their business, and then next thing you know, they're going to that big freezer in the sky. But they had a good life until then. And so don't anthropomorphize your animals. Don't mistreat your animals, because that's stupid too. Treat them good, man. Treat them to the level of respect, I guess you can say, that they deserve in their created space. That's the best way I can put that. They're all created for a reason. Even the pet animals, they're created, I guess, to and designed and bred to be specifically a pet. But that's what they are. They're pets. They're not kids. Don't anthropomorphize your animals, man. Yeah. I guess that's about as much beating into the dirt on that subject I can do, right? What else is there? I'm looking around the office. This is really weird. This is really weird doing this by myself, but I think it might be a little weirder when Monica has to come and listen to this and edit it, not knowing anything when I was talking about. And yeah. Hey, Monica. Thanks for editing this. A little bit of editing to do. So we try not to edit too much, but sometimes I might put an extra, don't you know, or like, a little, broken record moment. Say that over and over. Or I might say right too much. I'm only human. I have my flaws. I'm not an animal. I'm not perfect. I'm just human. So, yeah, I hope that was educational, entertaining a little bit. Maybe I probably ticked a lot of people off. probably ticked a lot of people off, like there's a lot of people listening. But I'm sure I made somebody mad, but hopefully I made somebody think about that. Maybe they were wondering if that's something they should do or not, and I don't think it's right. I think it sets a dangerous precedent for us and the animal. I think specifically for the animal, because we take them away from their nature, things they're supposed to do, and when they do express their nature, we think it's weird. Like, we don't do that. Us higher created intelligent beings called humans, we don't do that. Of course we don't, because we're created to do different things. These animals were created to do certain things. So let the animal express his animalness, no matter what it is. And some animals just aren't meant to be in cages, man. And just like people, I guess it could kind of break them, and then they develop weird habits. And I don't know. It's just not good. It's not good for anybody, us or the animals. So don't do it. Just don't do it. All right, so I guess I'm going to get out of here. I guess I get no more dead horses to beat, which is a very weird, speaking of all the animal stuff, what a weird saying, right? Anyway, so I guess I'm going to get out of here. Having sleep on an old, well, it's not old, it's a new, but it's an army cot. I've tried to make it as comfortable as possible. And my body is just it's not up for that anymore. So hopefully it's the last night. We'll see. But, yeah, everybody's doing good. Oh, so let me say this, all right? Sometimes rambling is good because it loosens things up that I wanted to say earlier and I forgot. So the whole anthropomorphizing of animals, right? We treat them like humans. So we start to think that animals need to be ran a certain way, right? We talked about the high school that we did the consultation for, and he had to get rid of his rabbits because somebody in the administration had a pet rabbit, and they thought that's how rabbits are supposed to live, inside, free-ranging, which doesn't make any sense, free-ranging a rabbit indoors, you know, wild and free inside. But he had to get rid of all of his rabbits because of that. I mean, he did not have them in a bad system. I took them, well, I bought them from him. I brought them to our farm because I think rabbits are super cool. They're cuddly, and they poop a lot, and they're also good for meat and pelts and pets. You kind of do a little bit of everything with them. And so I brought them here. I run them in the exact same system that he had, but because we all understand that that's okay. All right? We're not mistreating them. We're running them in a way that is we're supposed to be doing in a farm setting, right? So when people think that way about animals, they think they have to, there has to be a certain standard set for animals, okay? And it's across the board, okay? You have a pet rabbit in your house, good, whatever, great, I'm happy for you. Rabbits, they poop and pee too much for me to keep one inside. We've done it before, and it's a nightmare. Hey, but if that's your thing, that's your animal, go for it, whatever. You know, I got nothing against it. But when you try to tell me on a farm, or the guy running the farm at the high school, that, hey, rabbits shouldn't be ran that way. Okay, why? Tell me why. Oh, because you treat your rabbit like a human. That's stupid. Okay, and then so when we start to look at animals, we think all animals should have a certain standard of living. Like we say humans do. We believe humans should have a certain standard of living. Well, how's that going, California and Philadelphia? Is that where the fentanyl crisis? Well, it's getting bad everywhere. But anyway, so when we set that dangerous precedent by anthropomorphizing animals, we think that all animals, even in a farm setting, should live that way, okay? The way we have a regenerative farm, we've talked about it before. I'm not going to explain it again, but look it up. Use your brain, because that's what humans do. We have the ability to research. So if someone came out here yesterday morning, when this after the snow first fell, we had about 2 to 3 inches out here at the farm. It was cold. The wind chill, it was like in the low teens, I guess it would be. And then the sun come up, you know, stupid bumpkin, can't talk right. So when the sun came up, I went out, did my rounds, and on a regenerative farm like here, we don't rush to be out here at the crack dawn like people think farmers are supposed to, because when the sun comes up, it's like the animal's alarm clock. They get up, they have to go do their thing, their animal thing, their, you know, the pigness of the pig, the chickenness of the chickens, the goats, the sheep, the donkeys, the rabbits, the whatnot, what have you, what all animals are there. Yeah, so everything's got to get up and be animals before we come out and we feed them. We don't want them, oh, the sun's up, so I got to stand here at this feed trough and wait on the old flesh bag to come pour something good in here for me to eat. No, these animals have to get up and be animals. They have to do, they have to have a somewhat animalistic routine, if you will. They have to do what their natural instincts tell them to do, because that's how I want my animals to be. I want them to express their animalness in their little sphere of animality. Ooh, I don't know how I felt about that, but it sounded good. So anyway, so, geez, I'm rambling again. Imagine that. So going back to setting that precedent of anthropomorphism in animals and setting a standard of living, if the wrong people were out here Tuesday morning and saw my animals, they probably would have thought, oh my gosh, why aren't they all packed up in the barn, right? They have to be out of the weather. Well, the ones that needed to be were a little zonkey, a little zebra donkey dude. He's just a little baby. So he came inside. You know, he's not ready for that. I mean, he came from Texas. I don't know if he's ever seen cold weather, but so we brought him inside. We got a little baby goat. She's only a few days old. We brought her inside with the mom and some of the rabbits, not all of them, because rabbits are pretty cold tolerant, but the new ones we left in the barn because we're still kind of keeping an eye on them. We have a couple free range chickens I let come in the barn. And of course the cat stays in the barn at night anyway, even when it's 10,000 degrees or 10 degrees. So if you're a little scratching there, just a little scratch of my beard. Sorry for that little ASMR there. and a little coughage. So anyway, back on track here. Yeah. So if people come out here, they would have thought, oh, you're torturing these animals. It's so cold. Why? What? Oh, yeah, we also have cows. I forgot about the cows out there. Anyway, so the pig, we took precautions. We took some cold precautions for the animals. The pigs, put some wheat straw out there, some bedding straw. We put a bunch of it out there because pigs are smart enough to know, okay, temperature's dropping. Let me get out of it. They put some extra bedding straw under their little shelters, and they burrow into it, and it keeps them warm. Perfectly fine. The goats and the sheep got the little shelter with their bedding straw. Guess what? They all hunkered together and they stayed warm. All right. So just go through the chickens. Chickens are amazingly cold tolerant. And they're out there in their little shelter all huddled together. They're completely fine. Guess what? No frozen feet like the internet would tell you. No, their combs didn't freeze and fall off or anything stupid. People will tell you. The rabbits that were outside, they got a little bit of extra bedding straw. They burrowed in there because the rabbits like to burrow. They know what to do. Let them be, let them do what they do. That's all there is to it. The cows, they huddle up. They're fine. They get out of the wind. They get under a tree. They get behind some bushes or whatever. Or they lay out in the open. Whatever makes them comfortable. Okay, so what amazed even me was the donkeys. So when the sun came up, it was about 30 minutes after sunrise. I peeked out there to see what was going on. Nobody was up. Nobody was moving. It was too cold. Everybody's still bedded down, waiting on the sun to come up a little bit to warm them up, because even animals are smart enough to know sun warm, right? But the donkeys did not give a crap about the cold. They saw me peek out the barn doors, and they're right there in that pasture, right there by the barn. And of course, Eeyore saw me. And his old woman, Moonshine, who was also abused, by the way, and their little baby, Peanut, they saw me, came to the fence. They're like, bro, flesh bag's here, snack man's here. let's get something to eat. Cool, they saw me. Jig was up. Eeyore started yelling at me, so that meant you get up out here before I come over there. Put these hoofs across your face. So anyway, took a little bit of snackage out there to them. They were literally had icicles hanging off of them. It's completely fine because they know how to take care of themselves. They were, when I peeked on them at you know, dusk the night before, they're under a tree. They know the bad weather's coming. They feel the moisture in the air, whatever, however they figured it out. But I guess with the old sideways Forrest Gump rain there, you know, a little sideways rain or turn into sleet and then snow kind of blew over onto them, whatever, formed onto their bodies, turned into icicles. They were completely fine. But if some people would have saw that, just be like, oh, you got to pack all your animals into the barn. Why? So these animals can be on top of each other and causing issues, making, you know, my animals are healthy. But if you put them, pack them all in together, just like humans, guess what? Someone can get sick. Someone can spread something. Some animals that don't spend time with some of the other animals, when something could attract something into the barn, into a stall, wherever I kept them, and something else could have got into it, ate, you know, all kind of, you don't want to pack them in there. That's why the ones that needed to be in the barn are in the barn. The ones that were going to be okay or stayed outside. Guess what? Every single body, not everybody, but every animal lived. Every animal made it. We got through it. And how did they do it? It wasn't by me anthropomorphizing them and putting little jackets and coats on them and, you know, building little fires for them to hang out around there, like, you know, you see in the old 80s movies, you know, in the old cop movies and stuff. Everybody's hanging around the burn barrel. I didn't do that. They followed their instincts, what they were created to do, and they were just fine. All right. So, yeah. So, anyway, there's that thought. So, I'm going to wrap it up before I start rambling and think of something else and boring you even further. And I've already said this is weird. Just doing this by myself. All by myself, trying to figure this panel out. And you know what's really going to suck is I did all this, said all this, and I didn't do something right, and none of this got recorded. But hopefully I didn't screw up that bad, and we can get this out, right? So, yeah, I'm not sure when this will come out. I'm recording this on Thursday. It's pretty late at night, right? Is it Thursday? Yeah, it's Thursday. It's about 8:30, which is late for me. We usually record on Wednesdays, and the old Space Fox will edit it either that day or the next day, and we'll get it on a Friday. There's no promises there when this comes out. You know, I know everybody's anticipating the old Cirque du Psyche podcast every Friday, right? Yeah. Anyway. But I hope this was entertaining at least, but I know it made some people mad. Somebody's mad out there, and you know what? It is what it is. We all got opinions. We all got ways to look at the world. Not saying I'm completely right, but I think I am with this. Don't anthropomorphize your animals. Let them be animals. Let them do what they do, right? So with that being said, I'm going to get up out of here and go to bed. Ooh, that is Rhyme Master Tanner. Maybe that's what I should change it to. Nah, Cosmic Potato Farmer, that's me. It's more suiting. I can't rhyme all the time. But so anyway, I'm going to get out of here, maybe take some melatonin tonight. I don't like to, but last couple nights I think I maybe slept 6 hours collectively. Hasn't been very fun, so maybe I'll sleep tonight. Maybe. We'll see. Get up in the morning and then go outside. After I drink a cup of coffee, of course, because I let my animals wake up with the sun. The old sun's their alarm clock. Rooster starts crowing, right? So wakes everybody up, kind of. Everybody sleeps in a little bit when it's cold. And then I'm going to sneak out there. You know what I'm going to see? Do y'all know what I'm going to see? Animals doing what they do. And it's going to be amazing. Amazing, right? So anyway, if you got animals, do it right. Let them express their animalness, and don't abuse your animals, because that's just stupid. It's terrible. Anyway, All right, let's wrap it up. I keep saying that, but I keep dragging it on because cabin fever is real. I guess that's the right term, cabin fever, or stir crazy is real. Especially as much as I like to talk, and I've been out here for 2 days by myself, and I hadn't really talked to anybody. It's not fun. Yeah, but it is. It is what it is. I'm glad my animals are safe. We're all safe, staying off the roads, whatever, because, you know, we South Carolinians down here in the dirty South, we don't know how to drive in this white stuff. It's a little sketchy out there, so safe and happy at my farm with my animals. Anyway, I guess we'll be back next week, hopefully, both of us, because I don't like doing this by myself. It's weird. So, anyway, take it easy, and get some sleep out there. Take care of yourselves also, all right? Stay safe, stay warm. We'll see you on the next one. Bye.